Absolutely, that's one of our biggest challenges. So what we have is predominantly in the Western world, an aging population of polio survivors. So we had epidemics of poliovirus before we had widespread vaccination starting in the 60s. And what that means is that there are few people now that are coming into Australia only through immigration, where we have polio histories. So we still have younger polio survivors, but our vast majority of people are older. What's forgotten is that they still had a condition and they still need management. And unfortunately, with time, we've forgotten about it. And we've got a lot of people that require support, and it's not covered anymore in our health education. So no one has the skills and understanding of what's happening to these people or how to manage them.
So, how many people do you know across Australia, Queensland, who are impacted by this?
It's a very good question. It is really challenging for us to answer that. One of the challenges is that we no longer capture it. So the Department of Health asks us for that information and we ask them for that information. It's not recorded anywhere. So we don't even include it on our screening forms. And if you think even on our GP or medical centre forms, there's no question on that. So it's entirely up to the polio survivor to come forward. So we know from a previous history of notifiable incidences, there's around 40,000 cases of that that were notified. The number would be much greater than that in terms of actually who had polio, especially when we consider the amount of migration that's happened in Australia's history. So we've got a large population. It's just trying to find them all, and also for our people with the skills, the health professionals, to know what to do when they are found.
What are some of the things you will be talking about in the workshop today?
One of the key things is that when we think of polio, we think of certain disabilities, physical disabilities with requiring calipers, or maybe even some people can remember the iron lung and that sort of thing, where people have assistance for breathing. It's actually a neurological condition. So what that means is that as somebody ages, there's implications for how the neurological, the nerves transmit messages to all the muscles and enable somebody to continue with their function. And it is a progressive condition. So that's the big thing that we highlight, that it's not just the physical disability that somebody might have, it's how to assess them from a neurological perspective and how we manage their decline. And unfortunately, it is a condition where they will continue to decline. It's not something that's set, as in they've had polio years ago, and whatever disability they had then, they continue for the rest of their life. They will gradually decline.
So those seeking service, we're going to speak to a lady who's been impacted by polio and she's living with it still. Not every doctor would know how to treat this, so a lot of the people have to go through specific means to get the care they need.
That's right. So we've got big challenges there. So across all areas within our health and medical industries, we do not have a lot of skills and knowledge in that. It's not something that's taught in the current syllabuses. So there's very limited information and therefore very limited skills on how to address this area.
My name is Robin Clifton, and I'm a facilitator for the Post Polio Group here in Rockhampton.
Tell us a bit about your story.
I contracted polio when I was about 8 months old, my mother said. I was sort of looking like a pretzel for 3 days before they knew I had polio. I was rushed down to Camperdown Hospital and they did a lumbar puncture, and that's when they confirmed that I had polio. I went to a home called La Perouse in Sydney for a short period of time, and then I spent the rest of my life till I was 8 years old, 7 years old, at a home called the Far West Home in Manly in Sydney. At the time, I didn't know I had parents.
I can't imagine how difficult that was for you as a little kid, especially not having your family around and then having to go through the diagnosis.
Yes, it was difficult. I don't remember a great deal at that age, you know. I don't remember much, but what I do remember is that according to the matron at the time, I was a cheeky girl. But I was used to promote the Far West Home, either, I don't know, going back, this is how old I am, on the Kookaburra newsreel that used to go on in the theatres. I was discharged from the Manly Far West home when I was about 7, and I think 3 months before I was discharged, that's when I found out I had a mother and a father. Then from the age of 7 right up until I was 16, I had 2 operations a year at the Royal Brisbane Hospital.
You live in Rocky now. You've lived with the after effects of polio. Why did you start up this organisation in Rockhampton?
I was approached by Spinal Life. They needed somebody here in Rockhampton, and I've been running it, or trying to run it now, I think for 6 years. When we first registered for polio here in Rockhampton, there was only 3 members. Since then, we have got around about maybe 8 members that are suffering from either the late effects of polio or post-polio syndrome. But there is a lot of people here in Rockhampton that are suffering from late effects and post-polio. We just need to get the word out there that we're not dead, we're still around. And we are having a lot of difficulties, and we're trying to educate the health officials that just because polio has been eradicated here in Australia, the people that did get polio, we are still alive and we are having a lot of difficulties, and it's not just through old age that we are deteriorating. Mm-hmm. It's the effects of the polio that is making our independence, movability, less.